ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Srimad Bhagavatam summarizes question and answers, a study of 15 questions asked in the second canto. Second canto, chapter 1. Answer given for question 27 from previous canto, question 28 asked and answered. 1. Pratigya. Solemn statement of purpose of this chapter, entitled The First Step in God Realization, is directly given by Srila Prabhupada in his purport to the invocation Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The first quest chapter describes the glories of chanting, and it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotees may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. So he's opening this question. I mean, his question is what should one do in all circumstances, and what should one do at the time of death? So he immediately opens with chanting. Right? This is the most important of the processes. And then he opens with the aspect of the universal form, that in chanting, then along with that, our material attachments, or what we see of value in the material world, we turn it from illusion into substance by understanding that what is important to us is actually Krishna. Does this make sense? Universal form means Krishna's having entered into everything and giving it its potency, that it does what it does. Right? Let us say, it doesn't always work in English, but let's say you take in Sanskrit this, like, table. Right? Table, the meaning of the table in Sanskrit means that which holds up off the floor. Right? So it's pretty obvious. So that potency to be able to hold it up off the floor, in other words, it's tableness, that's Krishna. Right? The piece of wood and the shape and all that, that's another thing. Right? But it's what makes it a table is Krishna. That potency to hold it up, that's Krishna. Right? You can take its beauty, then that beauty is Krishna. You can take like that. Does that make sense? Its value, so wealth, that's Krishna. You know, you can take its strength, that's Krishna. It's strong enough, you can put, 100 kilos on it, so it's got the 100 kilos of strength of Krishna in it. Does that make sense? Tables are very renounced, they don't care, so that's Krishna also. Not very knowledgeable, so that aspect of Krishna is not there in the table. Right? That's why material energy is called ignorant, because it doesn't have any of the opulence of Krishna's knowledge in it. Does that make sense? Okay? So then, in other words, the chanting's the main, and along with it is the method by which you could engage anything that's of importance to you. In other words, whatever is a distraction to your chanting, the attachments that you have in the material world, whatever distractions are there, then that you can take care of through this understanding the universal form. Does that make sense? Right? Then, as we see with time, then the culture of it then will be described. Right? Through example, how it's applied. This is the tattva. But when it's applied, then the culture becomes very nice and pleasant. Right? Many times we're very worried that our philosophy is very, we are tyagis, right? Amongst the Indian sadhu community, they have all these different groups. They go, if you go to Kumbh Mela, then they group them according to what they are. They're yogis, they're tyagis, they're shaktas, they're tantrics, they have all these different groups. So we technically come under what they'll call us as tyagis. Right? Even we're grihasthas, it doesn't matter, we're tyagis. Because basically, our thing is giving up the material world. Right? Like that. And the process we do is restrict our interaction with it. So we're counted as tyagis. So, even we practice the pravritti marg, right, instead of nivritti. But still, it's pravritti within nivritti, right? Because our process is naishkarmya. So only because the attachment may be too great to purely, work on the platform of Naishkarmya, we will interact with the material energy, but with knowledge. Does that make sense? So technically it's still Nivriti instead of Pravriti. But it's more emphasis is on the karma, so we call it karma yoga. Right? And then when it's more emphasis on the Nivriti, it's called Jnana Yoga. But it's still all part of Bhakti, Buddhi Yoga, which is technically Nivriti. Does that make sense? Like that. It's something that comes up a lot is that we'll have overlapping of definitions. It's very important to be able to accommodate this. Because you're dealing with the macro and the micro. And so they work on the same thing. So the micro is contained within the macro, but it functions the same as the macro. Right? You have the whole thing, and then you just take one part of it, but it'll function like the whole thing functions within its... Does that make sense? So you have to be able to accommodate that a definition has its meaning on one, and then when you take that, you can... Like Sambandha Abhideya Prayojana, that's three. Right? But you can take Sambandha and divide that into three. You can take Abhideya, divide it into three. Right? Means Sambandha will be... You are arranging the field and understanding the elements within the field. Alright? The Abhideya will mean that you're operating the field, and the Prayoja means you're getting a result of that field. Right? From operating that field, you'll get a result. Does that make sense? Yes? No? A lot of blinking of eyes there. Okay, now let's just take Sambandha, where you're arranging the field, or dealing with the field. Now, Sambandha would mean it's just purely you're getting the elements of the field. Then, in arranging those elements, there is an activity, so that's the Abhideya within the Sambandha. And then the result is the field is now ready for operating. Does that make sense? Just like you're going to cook. So before you cook, you have to get your vegetables together. Right? So now, so the Sambandha would be getting all the arrangements for the cooking. The cooking is actually the process, okay? But now, you have to go to the market, you have to wash pots, you have to do all those things. So then you get the thing, but then you have to arrange it, bring it there. Then you're going to have to cut all the vegetables, and then finally when everything's in its place over where you're going to cook rather than in the go-down or in the market, that's the Prayojana, right? So now Sambandha has been accomplished. So now I can actually perform Abhideya by cooking. Right? Does that make sense? Now in the Abhideya, first I'm going to put the ghee in the pot, the spices in the pot, all the vegetables in the pot, because you can't say it's cooking. When I'm making a chance, you can't say I'm cooking the vegetable. You understand? It is cooking, but it's not, because the vegetable, until it's all in the pot with everything, then it's cooking. Does that make sense? It's a subtlety. And then it is cooked right now, so that's the result of cooking. Right? But it's still in the pot. I don't have it for serving until I get it out of the pot. So therefore, that's when, after I take it off the fire, then we start the Prayojana. Does that make sense? So then in there, then I take it and then it's going to be served in that pot, or I'm going to put it in something else, I'm going to do a little garnishing or whatever it is like this, and then, so now it's ready for serving. Then I'm going to serve it, which is a process, which is an Abhideya, but that's within Prayojana, because your purpose of, if you're looking at it from cooking, your purpose of cooking was to be able to serve Prashad. That's your goal, right? So in the goal, now I'm serving, so that's the Abhideya of Prayojana. Then having served and everybody's satisfied, that's the Prayojana of Prayojana. Does that make sense? Right? And then you can take any one of those and break that down. Right? Does that make sense? Then the Abhideya, the Sambandha Abhideya, I'm just getting the vegetables in the pot, but then there's the things I actually have to get, take them. You know? I identify this is ghee. Right? That's Sambandhas. I'm identifying that's ghee, and this is a spoon, and the spoon and the ghee have a relationship. The spoon can hold the ghee. Right? Does that make sense? But I haven't identified just ghee. Technically, I've identified the box or the pot that the ghee is in. Right? And the pot is holding the ghee. Does that make sense? So there, and there, you know, because if it's not like that, then if the ghee is holding the pot, we got a problem. You know, that's called a mess on the floor. Right? But when the pot holds the ghee, then the sambandha is correct, and then it's there. Then the spoon will hold that, and I have to understand which side of the spoon is supposed to go up, right? The hollow side is up, and the solid side is down, right? And so then I get that. Then the sambandha of Abhideya is I'm going to actually put it into the pot, right? And then I've gotten it into the pot without spilling it on the floor and everything, you know, and the pot's hot. That's the prayojan of that. Does that make sense? So like that, you can keep breaking it down, breaking it down, breaking it down. The Vedic, generally, they never take it past 5 because it gets a little too esoteric. But you'll find the same principle in astrology. You'll find it in Ayurveda, you know, anything. You always have to understand the overall principle, but then every one of those works on the same principle. It's consistent. Otherwise, why is it the same body of knowledge? Does that make sense? So this is actually one of the main things that we're trying to teach in this course. Does that make sense? That's the particular uniqueness of this approach to the Bhagavatam or any of the scriptures that we teach here, is understanding the principles, how they work and how to operate them. You understand? So it's always going to come back to this sambandha, abhideya, and prayojan, and this macro and micro element. Does that make sense? Because otherwise, you can't operate the spiritual or material energy unless this is understood. Right? Then it's like technique. We don't teach technique. We teach the principles on which technique works. Right? Once you know that, then technique is easy. Does that make sense? Means, let us say, if we want to teach cooking. Now, if I want to teach, let's say, 100 recipes. Now, I could come in starting 100 recipes, and then that might take us 100 days. Right? Because every day I teach you one thing. If I teach you the principles on which the recipes work, right? Then within a few days I can teach you cooking. Right? But you have to be intelligent. The other one, you have to have a great memory. And in this system, you have to have discrimination. Right? So since we always see is that our science is called, you know, discrimination rather than memory, right? We always talk about parrots. Right? They can parrot things like that. That doesn't apply to Sukadev as a parrot because he is there. And so what he's talking about is what he's seen. So it's not parroting in his case. He is a parrot, he is making parrot noises, but it's not parroting. Right? But, in other words, if you understand the principles on which it's done, then very easily, then with a little practice that you connect that theory and principles that's given with the practical, then I'm not teaching you 100 recipes, I'm teaching you thousands of recipes. Because then you can create recipes. If I only teach you recipes, you can only teach the recipe, and if an ingredient is missing, you have a problem. But if I teach you actually how to cook, then whatever's in the kitchen, you can cook with it. Right? Does that make sense? There was one, I don't know where it was, I think it was either in Australia or in England. It was a popular cooking show where this one guy, he was like, you know, a chef. So he was a cook. And he would go to the supermarket, and whatever lady would be there with her, you know, little push cart full of stuff, he would come up and offer that what is in your basket right now with nothing else, I will come to your house and I will cook some fabulous, you know, meal. Didn't matter what was in the basket, he would do something with it. And so then, from there, then they would, you know, him and his cameras would go to the house, and what was in the basket, he'd just take it out, make a menu, and turn out something. Because his point was, is most people think that cooking to be nice cooking, you have to have all this elaborate stuff and elaborate. He was just showing that whatever you have in your house right now, you can cook something fabulous if you know what cooking is. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is with this knowledge, whatever your situation is now, it doesn't matter. It becomes a perfect situation for going back to Godhead. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter how attached you are, how unattached you are, how much you have, how little you have. It doesn't matter. Because if you know this science, you're more attached, you have more things to help you get out. Right? You're less attached, you have less things to get you out, but you have less to get out. You know what I'm saying? So it works perfect for everybody. Does that make sense? So that is the difference in approach. That's here. That's why sometimes we don't move at the speed we would like to. Technically, if we wanted to do this at the speed we want, we would do two chapters a week. One chapter in 2 days. But because of the means, one is we don't have the backup of having already done our orientation course and our Bhakti Shastri, that you would have understood these principles, then we can go more quickly through the Bhagavatam. But since we're teaching that at the same time, then it will be slow sometimes. Like here, I had said what I was going to say, and that was all. And then I thought, well, I should explain why. So now we've been going on for 20 minutes on one sentence. Okay? But you will observe a pattern in what we talk about. Okay? Yeah. Okay. 111. In the same purport, Srila Prabhupada compares the aims of the first canto and second cantos, and briefly but most memorably memorizes the aim of the 10 chapters of canto 2 as a whole. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the principles of creation are described, and thus the first canto may be called creation. Similarly, in the second canto, the post-creation cosmic manifestation is described. The different planetary systems are described in the second canto as different parts of the universal body of the Lord. For this reason, the second canto may be called the cosmic manifestation. There are 10 chapters in the second canto, and in these 10 chapters, the purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam and the different symptoms of this purpose are narrated. Okay, so here, creation is actually Krishna himself splits everything. It's his creation. The secondary creation means the universal form is what Brahma creates. Right? So they're both the Lord, but one is direct and one's indirect. See more? So because in the first canto, may wonder, well, how are the principles of creation? I didn't notice any creation, because it's about the Lord. Right? And how he is doing everything. Right? Before these subtle, in other words, the primary creation is subtle. Because nothing's actually manifest. The whole consciousness and principles of everything have been established. It means all the different elements of whatever is going to happen has been established. So the transcendental platform by which everything actually is expanded into the material platform has been established in the first canto. Does that make some sense? You know? So that's the whole point. Bhagavatam is a little more subtle than we would expect. You know? Because otherwise, why would it be written in his maturity if it was so simple? Okay. 112. Again, the above two quotations of Srila Prabhupada are from his purport to the invocation of Canto 2, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. The holy name Vasudev is the most significant here, both in terms of this particular chapter and the entire second canto. 112.1. Chapter 1 describes the glories of chanting, and it hints at the process by which the neophyte devotee may perform meditation on the universal form of the Lord. On the glories of chanting, Sri Vishnu Sahasranam Stotra, text 133, as commented upon by Acharya Baladeva Vidyabhushan, states that chanting the Lord's many holy names purifies the devotee, easily establishing in Vasudeva Septa. The devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna, who perform the pious activities of chanting these 1,000 holy names of the Lord, becomes free from anger, envy, greed, and all wicked thoughts within the mind. Nimisha 1. Compare this to Srila Sukadeva's statements in Bhagavatam 2.1.2.4 about Grihamedis. See also his prescription in verse 5 for gaining freedom from the anartas that plague such envious people. 1.1.2.1.2. Concerning meditation upon the universal form, the next text of Vishnu Sahasranam states, the entire expanse of outer space, along with the sun, moon, stars, and planets, the ether, the directions, the earth, planet, the great oceans, are all maintained by the power of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So as important as that, it's not just, okay, he's maintaining everything, but the point is everything that we deal with is what he's maintaining. Does that make sense? Because otherwise you go, yeah, God's maintaining everything, and then there's my life. No, but whatever is important to you in your life, that's what God's maintaining. He's creating it, maintaining it, and destroying it. Does that make sense? So that's why it keeps coming up again and again. It's not just, okay, heard that, you know, now let's move on to, okay, yeah, I know I'm not by body, okay, that's for the, I heard that as a new bhakti. Let's hear something deep. No, but you're not your body means you're not your body. You know, so we're attached to everything connected to the body, and that's what's holding us back. Well, if we understood, we actually understood we're not this body, we wouldn't have any problem. We'd be out of the material world. We may not be in the spiritual world, but we'd be out of the material world. Right? To that degree we think we're this body means to that degree we're in the material world. So if we're here, unless you're one of the acharyas or that, then you forgive me, then you don't fully realize that we're not the body. Right? So it's very fundamental. Then there's thousands of ways to understand how we're not the body. Right? So therefore these things will come up again and again. Srila Prabhupada explains the holy name Vasudev in Bhagavatam 4.3.23 purport. In pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality of Godhead as a matter of duty, without reason and without being impeded by material conditions. That is called Shuddha Sattva, or Vasudeva, because in that stage the Supreme Person, Krishna, is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva, or Shuddha Sattva, in his Bhagavat Sandarbha. He explains that Ashtatarta Sattva 108 is attached to the name of the spiritual master to indicate one who is situated in Shuddha Sattva, or the transcendental state of Vasudeva. The word Vasudeva is also used for other purposes. For example, Vasudeva also means one who is everywhere or all-pervading. The sun is also called Vasudeva Shabditam. The word Vasudeva may be utilized for different purposes, but whatever purpose we adopt, Vasudeva means the all-pervading or localized Supreme Personality of Godhead. In Bhagavad Gita 7.19 it is also stated, Vasudeva Sarvam Iti. Factual realization is to understand Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and surrender unto him. Vasudeva is the ground wherein Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is revealed. Here's some very interesting what we're talking. Yes. Yeah, basically pure consciousness, but it is more than the consciousness. It means you have to be conscious of what is the field, because field will, consciousness is how you perceive the field. Through consciousness you'll operate the field, but the field itself is Vasudeva. You know, means the elements you deal with aren't necessarily conscious, right? But still they're Vasudeva because it's his potency. Right? See, and here there's some key words. These are things that we should also get used to as key words. In here, in pure devotional service, right? Immediately we hear pure devotional service, do we think of the Kanista, Madhyam, or Uttamadhikari? Huh? Uttam, right? Right. That's default setting. But technically, when you say pure devotional service, we mean the Madhyama. Right? It also includes it includes the Madhyama, the Uttama, and the Prema Bhakti. Right? Like that. Does that make sense? So you could say that the Madhyam Bhakta is the Kanista pure devotee. Right? The Uttam is the Madhyam pure devotee, and one on the platform of Prema is the Uttam pure devotee. Right? Does that make sense? So we have to be able to accommodate this. This is very important. We won't advance past being a neophyte if we don't understand this. Right? Because we won't know what a Madhyama is, so how will we get there? Right? You only get someplace when you understand what it is. How do you get to Calcutta if you don't know it's Calcutta? You keep driving until you get to Diamond Harbor. Right? Or actually to, you know, the Sagar, when you run into the ocean, it's kind of like, well, where's Calcutta? You know, this is an ocean. Does that make sense? So only because you know it's Calcutta, then you're there. So only if you know what a Madhyama is can you actually become one. Does that make sense? Right? So in here you see pure devotional servant, one simply serves the personality of God as a matter of duty, without reason, without being impeded by material conditions. Now, the definitions are so perfect, they'll work on all three of these levels of pure devotional service. Right? As a Madhyam, as an Uttam, and as on Prema. But in here we notice that there is the flavor, because this is the second canon is being presented for us. So we're starting with us, not with, you know, means we want to start with the residents of Vrindavan, that's 10th canto, right? So this is meaning it's addressing us. So duty, matter of duty, right? Means if we're talking about the other, it's a matter of mood or bhava, or it's a matter of love. You understand? So it's a matter of duty, that means the Madhyama pure devotee. When it's a matter of ecstasy, that's the, you know, or, you know, ecstatic, like that, that's the bhava bhakta, or the uttama. If it's a matter of love, you know, because it could say, pure devotional service, one simply serves the Supreme Personality Godhead with love. We do find that definition also. Because that we're talking about what our goal is, that we're trying to get to, of prema. But this is addressing the Madhyama, what he's to technically do. Yes.
I was just wondering, like, if we read this instruction and we identify ourselves as being paying Kanishka, right? But we read the description of the Uttama Adhikara and we think that's what I want to be. Do we have to go through the stage of being a Madhyam before we reach Uttama, or can we just make that our goal and, you know,
means you always go through it, but you can go through it in a, you know, a second, you know, like that. You can. I mean, we see is that, you know, like Narottam was just, you know, a kid on the block, and then he went down, and then, you know, and within a moment, then he came to Prema. But you do go through that point, but it may be so short. We see the Acharyas, they go through the stages we would go through, but very quickly.
Yeah, so like when we're setting our goal, it's not wrong to say, okay, this seems like the most, you know, attractive and very good situation to be in, so I'll go for that.
Yeah, that you have to do, but the mechanics of it generally have to be addressed, because you do have to get there. So the point is if you fully surrender and give up everything and only have that affection for Krishna, then in a moment you've attained that. But that intellectual state of knowing that that's what it is, that's the Madhyama platform. It means being able to operate it. Neophyte knows that that's where I should get, but it's a long way off. Madhyama is that's what I should get, but I'm operating it right now. So to be able to surrender means you had to have, that gyan had to come to the point of realization, which means operatable, then you can get your goal. So that means for that moment that you were thinking, yes, I just have to surrender, and you've done it, that would have been the Madhyama platform. You know what I'm saying? In other words, you're not going to skip over it, but it may be reduced. But the point is it has to be addressed.
And then the other thing is that sometimes we have our goals and we have an intellectual understanding, and we even may have the behavior sometimes, but we can also understand that the condition of our heart and from those things.
Yeah, but that's the Madhyama appreciates that. So the point is the neophyte, those feelings are more important, and they work Krishna consciousness around that. You know what I'm saying? In other words, it's aropya, where you lay what you are interested in on top of Krishna consciousness. Right? So you see Krishna consciousness through that, you know, like your desires. But the madhyama means is that you know that those are there, therefore you take those as tools to get out of here. Right? If I'm attached to family, then rather than I base my Krishna consciousness around the family, working it in between the family things, I make dealing with the family part of my Krishna conscious process. But that's not words. That's actual realization and functioning. That's the difference. Because anybody can say, yes, yes, my family is engaged in Krishna consciousness. And it's kind of like, okay, explain it. Because if you're actually a jnana yogi, you can explain it. Because jnana is important for you. You do contemplate it all day. A jnana yogi means that's what he thinks about all day. Karma yogi, he means he thinks about the process all day. How to get things done and get results and like that. Jnana yogi is, how is it functioning? What's behind it? Why is it functioning that way? And how to improve that quality of that? Because they're already practiced at the skill. But now it's how to improve the skill. The neophyte develops the skill. The madhyama refines the skill. Does that make sense? Here, just think about, what is your point? Yeah, because there's always so many buts. That means the detail didn't apply to your question. So what actually is your question? In other words, you're giving a question that's a detail, not actually getting to the question. So therefore, so far the three answers that have been given haven't quite hit the nail on the head. Oh, it's another question.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is a but, meaning I have more questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just like sometimes it seems like we've got two choices where if we analyze what our actual condition is,
mm-hmm.
we can try and act on the platform of where we want to be. But sometimes it's like that gap seems unnatural, or is it better to just act from where we are and use the condition that we're in to get to where we want to be?
Yeah, okay, that's a very nice question. You could all hear? Yes. Huh? No? Means, question is that in looking at it, okay, we analyze our situation and where we want to get to, the ideal. So do we just try to act on that ideal, or do we look at where we actually are at and try to function within where we're at and get to that ideal? So if that's there, that's what one would look at where one's at, but in connection to the ideal of act. The mistake comes is, generally this is what has happened, what the devotees have applied generally up to today, is they see what they want to be and act on that, and that they're not able to do it for necessarily very long. Some are very, you know, nicely and, you know, courageously done it for 20 years, 30 years, then they fall back to where they're actually at. But you have to give them credit, because at least they tried and they did it, and that that credit will never be lost, because it's devotional service. Then, as a reaction of that, right, is then it's a matter of, well, now I'm looking at where I'm really at, and that's the reality. But in doing that, they forget the goal that they were trying to get at before. So both of these processes aren't complete, and that's why there's still no satisfaction. So the actual process would be to see where I am at, where I want to go. Actually, yeah, okay. This would be, it means use two approaches to that. The lower is, this is where I am at, this is where I want to go. So now let us engage where I am at to help us get to where I want to go. The higher of that, which is Sarvadharma Pratyajaya, is I want to get to here. And so what facilities do I have to get there? So my conditioned nature is this, so I'll engage that in Krishna's service. Right? There's a slight difference in the two. The one is this is where I'm at and this is what I like, so I'll engage that in the Lord's service. The other is, I want to attain the Lord's service, so what actual facilities do I have? You know what I'm saying? It's the differences between us. I want to cook this, and then I go into the kitchen. Or the other is, I want to cook, let's see what's in the kitchen. You know what I'm saying? There is a slight difference. So that's the difference between what's been explained in the last six chapters up to Sarvadharma Paritya Jaya. That is, you technically take, you have this, you use it like this, you have this, you use it like that. But then the real mentality of that is, I start with Krishna and work back. Right? So that's the higher. So that will be the upper ends of the Madhyam. Or actually, you know, it also goes into the Uttam. Like, I have, in other words, the spirit, we have it in the last verse of Brahma Samhita before his, he talks about, I think it's 55. Yam kama krodha sahaja pranayadupiti, is depending upon the affection that they have for Krishna, that's the body that they manifest. You understand? So the affections first, then the externals. So that's the uttama approach to it. You may be a madhyama or maybe a kanista, but that's the uttama approach. So we always try to develop the uttama. It's not a situation, it's a mentality, as we were describing before, is that when one's situated in bhava bhakti, one does have one's spiritual form, and one has a right to operate it in the pastimes. So you're in the pastimes with the Lord and His devotees in the spiritual realm. But that doesn't mean you're on the platform of prema, because still you have to work out that, you know, you're out of the material world. You still have to work out that Krishna is all you want. You know, it's predominant, therefore you're there. But still, you can get attracted. It's just like here, you know, we do, even though we want to be into the house and money and family and all that, it does have problems. You are in the material world, there are problems. And you can't get away with that. And just, you know, day after day, you kind of like, kind of accept, well, maybe the Shastra is right, that it is a place temporary and a place of misery. But if you're in the spiritual world, you don't have those encumbrances. So you could get distracted by the perfectness of the external situation of the spiritual world. Does that make sense? Because tatasta means you see Bible. You can see the external, you can see the Krishna. Does that make sense? And now it's a matter of making that choice. But because your determination, you're coming from this platform, going there, you'll keep going there. So once going there, you won't come back. You know what I'm saying? Because you've been here and you're, you know, it's, you know, been there, done that. Okay? Does that make sense?
No more buts.
Okay, no more buts. Okay, so then we see here, this is Shuddha Sattva. This is very important, actually, understanding your spiritual life, because otherwise this explains how madhyamas can act as gurus and give you the effect of uttama, means give you the effect of being an uttama. Right? Just as a neophyte can act as a madhyama and you get the effect of a madhyama. Right? As we mentioned before, if you think about it, who made you actually made you into a devotee? Who convinced you? Or who planted the seed? Right? You know what I'm saying? Anyone here can say Prabhupada himself personally came and... Right? Many times it was just a new bhakta who invited you to the program or gave you a magazine or talked to you at the Sunday feast or... Right? But it was powerful enough that you took up seriously contemplating Krishna consciousness. You know, in other words, Shraddha was growing. They gave you faith. Right? And that's the building block of the whole system. On faith you can put association of devotees. On faith you can, on those, then you can put, you know, sadhusanga, nartha nivriti, like this. It can build. But if faith's not there, there's nothing to build on. Right? So how is it a neophyte, new bhakta, uninitiated, was able to give you faith? Because they're using the mentality of the madhyama. They're preaching. The neophyte doesn't preach. So how is this new bhakta preaching? Because they've taken up the position of an uttama, though the realization is that of a neophyte, but the potency is the same. Right? Means within the potency you may have more volume of potency or less volume of potency, but the potency is there. That's important to note. Another thing which is very important to note is that there is no one in history, I mean, there is no history that you can pull out where any uttama ever benefited spiritually, directly, anybody else, the neophyte or Madhyama. Right? There's not one in history. All the Uttamas who benefited the conditioned souls came in the mentality of a Madhyama. Because if they were Uttama, then you're already more advanced than them. And what are they going to say to you? Sukadeva's running off, did he stop to preach to those girls? Is he preaching to those people that are standing around him and making a laughing stock out of him? No. So only when he came into the assembly and they recognized him for who he was and he was asked some questions, then he took up the Madhyama platform and then he benefited. So this Bhagavatam is technically being spoken from the Madhyama platform. Of course, albeit by somebody on the platform of Prema, but does that make sense? In other words, the point to get a mean here is it's through the medium of the Madhyama that the Lord's mercy comes. And it doesn't matter if the person acting as a Madhyama is a neophyte, a Madhyama, or an Uttam. The difference will be is the amount of the Lord's kripa, I mean his mercy potency coming through the neophyte will be smaller than coming through the Madhyam, which will be smaller than coming through the Uttam. But the potency is there. You understand this, you understand our process. You don't understand this, you'll have a lot of trouble in your spiritual life. Yes? But when he's preaching, he's acting as a Madhyama, because he distinguishes. Otherwise, he wouldn't distinguish. Madhyama means he distinguishes between, you know, the Lord, the devotees, those who are innocent and those who are not. So he would make those distinctions. He would be pointing out, oh, you bought a piece of Navadvip? How do you buy the spiritual realm? How much did you pay? It's made out of Chintamani. It's unlimited wealth. What did you give for it? So that's the discussions of a Madhyama. Does that make sense? Like that. Because we wouldn't understand the other one anyway. It means we hear about Sukadeva running off in one shloka, and we hear about him walking back in one shloka. What would we do with, you know, 100 shlokas of what Sukadeva was as an Uttama acting as one? You know, it's like telling a fish about flying. You know, you can't relate. So the Madhyama platform is the common platform in which the Uttamas and the neophytes can commune. Does that make sense? So if that's understood and we understand that Madhyama is the beginning of pure devotional service, it will solve all of our guru issues and all of our guru questions. Every last one of them. So in other words, what it's saying is, look for someone who's an Uttama acting as a Madhyama. That's better than having a Madhyama as a Madhyama or a neophyte as a Madhyama. But in any case, if whatever it is, push comes to shove, find someone acting as consistently as a Madhyama and take shelter of them. That's actually what the scripture is saying. Right? Does that make sense? That's someone who understands their philosophy. Those who are stuck on externals, morality, bureaucracy, then they'll have all kinds of problems with this, but these people have problems with human beings. Right? They have problem with human life. Does that make sense? Like that. Because then it's all cut and dry. Point is neophytes we understand, Uttamas we understand, Madhyamas we don't understand. But until you understand the Madhyama platform, you can't get out of here because you can't recognize who can get you out of here. Does that make sense? Like that. Very simple. Okay, so now with that Shuddha Sattva, in other words, you're situated basically transcendentally, but because you think you're not, aren't. This is the fun point. You chant Hare Krishna, that's been brought down in parampara, you're liberated. But you don't think you are. Right? So because you don't think you are, therefore the discussions go as if you're not. Because what it is not that you have to liberate yourself, you have to get yourself out of the mentality that I'm not liberated. Does that make sense? And by not having that, then we have a lot of moral issues and this and that. Someone's chanting and this and that, but we think material sin is more strong than the holy name. That's offensive. Right? You know, it says you compare the holy name to karmakanda. But the inversion of karmakanda is not following karmakanda right. So that means some wrong is there. You know, oh, they behave nice, or they get angry, or they're too controlling, or they're too attached, and you know, but that's not more powerful than the holy name. Holy name's more powerful, but because that person puts more credence in his material situation, therefore the material situation is what's prominent. But actually, they're not ordinary. That's why devotees are not ordinary. They're liberated. The demigods see it like that. Right? So it's the process of changing one's perspective to understand what's actually the reality. Does that make sense? That's actually what we're doing. That's why Prabhupada gives the example of the dream. You have a bad dream and you're woken up, but you still see the tiger and all the bad things, and all, but you're awake. But you're still affected by the dream. But the dream's over. But you're remembering the dream and identifying with the dream, but you're awake. Does that make sense? Are we going over the top here? Okay. Means we're just trying to get this across to show that actually what devotional service is much more profound than what we're accrediting it to it. Because basically we only accredit profoundness to the Uttam Bhakta. And the Madhyam Bhakta is just another jerk like us. Like that. So, but the point is Prabhupada says advanced devotional service starts from Madhyama. Right? And Nishta means you're fixed in duty. Therefore the term duty is used. As a matter of duty, without reason, without being impeded by material conditions. So you're not impeded, that means you're beyond the fifth platform. Or at least you're working with that. Of Anartha Nivritti. Because the fifth platform is past the fourth platform. Fourth platform is war with Maya. Right? You could say that that's the beginning of Nishta, is that you decided, no, this is what I'm going to do and I don't care about Maya, and then you fight it. Right? So it's no longer something that you're bewildered, whether I should do this or that or, you know, all these different things. Or becoming proud or becoming enthusiastic one day and then not the next day and like that. Does that make sense? Okay. So then it's called Shuddhasat Pravasade because in that stage the Supreme Personality of Godhead is revealed in the heart of the devotee. Srila Jiva Goswami has very nicely described this Vasudeva Shuddhasattva in his Bhagavad Sandarbha. Situated in Shuddhasattva, the transcendental state of Vasudeva. So now it's just a matter of the depth of realization of this. Does that make sense? Like that. One who is everywhere and all-pervading. Now it also says here, different purposes, he's all-pervading. So that means we're dealing with Supasoul. This is also an interesting point. Is that you have Bhagavat, you have Brahman, Paramatma, Bhagavan. Right? So now this is talking about Paramatma. You've understood him to be everywhere, in everything. Right? Because Krishna's entered everything. So there's the element of the universal form. But that is a Madhyama position. You've seen you realize the Lord, but only localized, only kind of like in your purview. Does that make sense? It's not with his associates in pastime, so it hasn't come to Bhagavan. But you can see Krishna in this and that, Krishna is doing, how he, does that make sense? So it's also another indication of the Madhyama element. Right? But this naturally transforms because for, Prabhupada says, for the great devotees, then within their heart they'll see Govinda, they don't see Vishnu. Does that make sense? Because the same, for instance, just how you see him is how he'll manifest. Right? Devotees see Krishna as Vishnu because they are enamored by Krishna's godness. Right? Therefore, then he comes as four-armed form. Right? Because he's God, he must be unique. He can't just have look like us. Right? Those who are enamored by Krishna's sweetness and wonderfulness in his pastimes, then they see him as Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? Means you're having a program. Right? It's a formal program. How will the guests come? Yeah. You're having a program. It's just, you know, between friends and family members. How will you dress and come? So that's the thing. Then, if you're coming to them on their terms, how can they dress? You know what I'm saying? In other words, they don't have to dress up at all. So Krishna, as he is, that's Braja Krishna. That's what he likes to do. Everything else is what everybody else likes him to do. Mathura, Dwarka, Vaikuntha, you know, that's how the devotees like him to do. The Vrindavan is, that's what he likes to do. Right? Because in Mathura, they have to, you have rules. So God is there, God has rules. There's no rules. It's just what Krishna, the rule is what Krishna likes. Right? But it's not sporadic. You know, because Krishna's male, so it's fixed. What he likes. And so it works that way. Does that make sense? But because what he likes is interacting with his Shaktis, the feminine, therefore there's unlimited variety. Yep. Does that make any sense? Okay, so then from here, this Vasudeva Sattva is a very important platform because Vasudeva Sattva means one understands the transcendental, but one is not necessarily situated on the spiritual platform. One still may be dealing with material contamination. Right? But at the same time, Vasudeva Sattva can go all the way up to Vaikuntha. Right? It can go to the spiritual world. So in here, it means that in the process, there's an overlap. In the process of understanding our perception, then aprakrita means it's purely transcendental. There is no connection between the spiritual and the material. Right? That's you found on the platform of, you know, this at least above bhava. Bhava and above. But you have adhoksija means he enters into the material sphere, but he can be perceived if we know that it's him we're looking at. Right? And that overlap, he will come down as far as your religious principles as long as you see him in it. Right? But he won't come lower than that. Lower than that, he'll go if you follow Shastra and see him in connection with the Shastra. This makes sense? In other words, down to that point, the mood is more important. After that point, the rules and regulations. This makes sense? In other words, on the platform of Bhava Prema, then there's no material mix at all. Right? when you come down to the platform of moksha, then you can see Krishna in everything, because everything's Brahman, and so you see how that Brahman is not just, you know, Brahman, you know, just plain Brahman. It's the variety of Krishna's potencies as Brahman. When it comes down to Dharma, then that's your religious principles, your Varnashram. So he'll come into Varnashram. If it's Daivi Varnashram, you see it in connection to him. Then the performance of your duties of Daivi Varnashram in connection with him then give you that same transcendental upliftment. But if you're going to deal with Artha and Kama, unless it's based on the rules of the Shastra through that, then only then it will have its connection to Dharma, which is then connected to the Lord. You understand? So Artha and Kama will be indirectly connected. While Dharma, Moksha, that will be directly connected. Does that make sense? That's why the more you get into the material energy, the more you have to follow the rules. That the tendency is the more I get into material energy, the more less I have to follow. But that's why there's no result. All you have to do is really sit down and look at it. Who follows the principles means who is trying to understand the spirit of the law and following it, and look at them and their children and what results they're getting. Right? And look at those who may or may not be following, but they got their own philosophy. And look at them, their family, and their children. It's very blatant. You know what I'm saying? It's a science. Science is clear. It's observable. It's not a matter of sentiment. Of course, then, because we don't like that clearness, we will throw our sentiment on top of it. We'll spin doctor, we'll take it out. No, 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 but you don't understand, or this, or that, or so many things. I'm saying, you know what I'm saying? Yes or no? I mean, it's obvious to me, I deal with it every day, but the point is it's very bluntly observable, if we want to see it. Problem is ignorance is bliss, so we don't want to see it, because we don't understand how knowledge is actually inspiring. Because I'm attached to this, if I look at it with knowledge, then the fun's over. No, actually, according to the Vedas, the ignorant fun stops, but the mode of goodness fun starts. Does that make sense? It means when you look at it with knowledge, then it's a matter of you can see, yes, I'm doing this, I get this result. I do that, I get that result. It's a science, you know. You put some ink into some water, it turns black. You can't go, well, you have to actually understand, it's predominantly water. I mean, there's only a few drops of ink. I mean, why are you worried about the blackness? Worry about its waterness. And it says, Jack, it's black. You know? Wake up. You know, we're talking about real, wake up. You know, trying to say that material world is like this and that, and saying that that's reality, that's ignorance. And that the reality works on God's principles, that's reality. That's what we just read in yesterday's verse in the Bhagavatam. That's Krishna himself directly speaking. So that's not someone else. Of course, Krishna points out he sometimes cheats, so therefore when the devotee says, it's better. So that's Sukadev Goswami saying what Krishna said. So therefore you can take it as real. Right? No tricks. Right? So Krishna's saying, if you don't see a connection with me, it's not real. Doesn't matter how real it is to you, it's not real. Yeah? Just like the tiger in your dream is going to eat you. I mean, that's real to you in the dream. You are scared. You wake up. You're fearful. You worry about tigers after that. You know? So to you it was real, but it was an illusion. It was a dream. Tigers do exist, but one wasn't trying to eat you. Does that make sense? Yeah. So in this, then, this Vasudeva Sattva, that is very important, that that's what we're trying to get ourselves to. Does that make sense? In other words, we're trying to establish ourselves on the platform of Vasudeva Sattva. Then, from there, then all our spiritual and material needs can be very easily accomplished. Right? That makes sense? Just a very another practical point of the science. Was Duryodhana or Karna able to fulfill all their needs? No. Was Yudhishthira and the Pandavas able to fulfill all their needs? I'm talking about spiritual and material. Means if you look at it, then is saying, we have our wives, we have our opulence, we have our positions, we have everything by the grace of the Lord. Why? Because they accepted the process, the science. Sometimes they get, sometimes they don't. They didn't have it all the time, but what they got, they had. Right? He had emperorship of the full world, way greater than Duryodhana had. Right? I mean, do you hear of any glories of any of Duryodhana's brothers' wives? No. You hear Gandhari. Right? Because Dhritarashtra was very knowledgeable in the scriptures. He is a Rajarshi. His only fault was his attachment to his son, and we see because of that everything didn't go right. But because of his position as a Rajarshi, then he had what he shouldn't have had. He was blind. He shouldn't have been king. But because he was so qualified, therefore Pandu put him in charge. Right? And we see the Pandavas had everything. Right? So it's scientific. It can be seen. Like that. So it's unfortunate. It's that simple, but unfortunately the mind is not so simple. So it makes it more, it complicates things. Okay? Does that make sense? Yes?
Earlier, Maharaj, you said something that actually devotees are liberated, but they don't realize it. They're uh-huh. not really liberated. I mean, they are, but because they're thinking they're not, then they add more material ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, isn't it kind of good that we don't think we're liberated? Or my question is kind of...
If you think that you're liberated but don't act as that, that's a problem. The point is you're supposed to act as you're liberated.
But someone like Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his songs, we know that he was liberated, but, you know, and always thinking of Krishna, but in his songs, out of humility, he's saying, you know, I'm just so fallen and this wretched soul. And so is that just one of them, the traits of a Uttamadikari, to be thinking that way, although he's on a...
Yeah, means it's the person said, because here means implying it to ourself means we may be liberated by chanting the holy name, but I'm in material consciousness, so practically speaking I'm not, because it's what your consciousness is what results you'll be getting. So because your consciousness is material, therefore you're still getting material entanglement, but technically you're liberated. You know what I'm saying? But also there's in between. You're chanting and all that, doing spiritual things, so you're liberated. But then in between, you can contaminate yourself. Therefore, the example of the elephant taking a bath. You know? They take a bath nicely. They love baths. They scrub this, that. You have to take rocks and scrub them. They like to be super clean. And as soon as they come out, they pick up dust and throw it on to keep off the bugs. So that's the thing. We may chant great morning program and all this. You're actually on the transcendental platform. Then we walk out and then, you know, this one, this, that one, that, and so many things. And, you know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Would a mercy come to all of us, like Christ, like Christians, if we preserve what we have and inherit what we lack? So if we make every endeavor to try and get it right, but quite often we fall short from the mark, isn't there a point where such a
Why do you think you're sitting here? Why do you think you're sitting here? You know, what did you deserve that somehow or another you should be transferred from the South Island to here? You know what I'm saying? That's mercy. The point is this element we mentioned is a subtle point of tattva. It was just for reference, to try to establish the fact. Because see, generally it's like this. Even when we say, I mentioned Kanishtha Madhyam Uttam, when you think of the advanced devotees, Uttam. But actually, if you really think about it, generally devotees think, advanced devotee or prema, pure devotional service means a nitya siddha. They wouldn't even give an uttamadhikari on the platform of bhava actually that platform, because they don't know the technical difference. You know, because they'll say, pure devotee will never fall down. But Bharat Maharaj was a pure devotee. On the platform of Baba, he fell down. He didn't fall down for the reasons we fell down. He's falling down. We're falling down as, oh, such a nice, cute deer. And we're attached to it. He's thinking, here is a soul that is in ignorance and thinks it's a deer. And it's suffering because it doesn't have a mother. So therefore, I will help it by standing in as the mother and taking that responsibility. Then he's taking responsibility for the deer on the deer's platform, not on his platform. That's the difference. But it's still material, and he fell down. But in any discussion you have with any devotee, when they talk about gurus, if they ever fell down, they were not even devotees in the first place. They're not even that gracious to even have been devotees, let alone have been gurus, let alone have been advanced. But otherwise, why is Bharat Maharaj's example in the Bhagavatam? It's because the neophyte, it's 100% nitya siddha or you're a shmo. And there's nothing in between. And that's the problem. And if you find out later that my guru is a madhyama, he cheated me. I've heard devotees say, I was cheated. He presented himself, he cheated me. No, he didn't. He was doing the best he could. And that's as far as he could take it. The bus stopped at Runagat. You wanted to go to Calcutta. Get on another bus. Shut up. It's all this stuff. Oh, I was cheated. Get on another bus. You got the Runagat. Be happy. You know what I'm saying? And so, because of this, then so much of the spiritual life of devotees has been, on this particular philosophical point, has been compromised. Why did devotees, previously it was, if it was a rule or Prabhupada said it, it was gospel, that's it. Now it doesn't matter. Even Prabhupada said it, it's still up for discussion. Why? Because devotees don't trust authority. And why don't they trust authority? Because they made the mistake of thinking that there's nitya siddhas and there's shmos, and that's it. They can't discern between the different levels of devotional service and where the potency comes. The potency comes from the madhyama, not from the uttama. That's very, very clearly given by Vishwanath. He says the Lord's kripa shakti, or his mercy potency, flows through the madhyamas, not through the neophytes or the uttamas. He makes that point very strongly. But we'll always say, well, unless you're this, unless you're that, that's a great, it's great. The neophyte who doesn't know anything is pontificating. Great. But reality is given by the acharyas. So, and therefore we can put it back to, okay, we had 11 wallas who went away, and therefore all the problems in our society and this, and no one can do this, and no one can do that, therefore I'm talking so much. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got to do with your understanding of the philosophy and whether you want to go back to Godhead or you want to find an excuse to stay in the material world. That's all. You can feel you've been cheated. You've been cheated since you've been in the material world. And why are you being cheated? Because you're a cheater yourself. You're a cheater yourself. Cheaters and cheated. That's what's here. So therefore, understand what's there and move on. Because that's what the Shastra says. You go down to the bus stand and get a direct bus. If you can't get a direct bus, then get a bus that takes you another bus that will take you there. If you can't do that, then get on a bus that'll take you to another bus, it'll take you to another bus, you know, if it takes you 10 buses, but you got there. You know? Yeah, it's just, it was in Italy, you know, was it buy 10, get one free, you know, about gurus, you know? Like that, you know what I'm saying? So, that's the thing, but the best is you take your direct bus. So they'll say, yeah, there should be an Uttam, because they'll just directly take you. But if you can't, then get someone who'll connect you. So that's the point. You have, take it. If you don't, then what, it works. That's the whole point, because the mercy is flowing through the madhyamas. So, okay, here's a madhyama that doesn't have Uttama realization. Okay. But it's still madhyama and it's still working and the Kripa Shakti is flowing. So then are we going to take it or are we going to sit back and in our neophyteness, you know, complain that it's not an Uttama? And we can't even define what an Uttama is anyway, because we don't make distinction between a Bhava Bhakta and a Prema Bhakta. So we wouldn't know anyway. And we talk pure devotion. Let's say, yes, a pure devotee, you know, a pure devotee who's, you know, liberated simply only describes the Bhava Bhakta. The word liberated is not used for a Prema Bhakta. You can say he is liberated, but it will go on to say more. But if you say he's advanced, he's liberated, it simply means Bhava. You know? And you say, cross the Narta Nivriti, that's the Madhyama. But for one's own practices, true Anarta Nivriti is Bhava, because then one's freed from, one is liberated. That's, you know, complete Anarta Nivriti. But the other one is Anarta Nivriti at Nishta, which is 60% purified. Not 100%, 60%. 60% is good enough for Krishna, his eternal associates, and the great sages. Of course, it's not good enough for Western tribals. Like that. Does that make sense? So, that's the point. So it's a matter of, is the 60%, in other words, the 60% is there to take advantage of, the 40% avoid. You know? You're supposed to do that with your friends anyway. Find like-minded people. That means they're going to have the same goals in that, but there's a good chance they're going to have the same anarthas as you. You know, so if you're going to say, well, I don't associate with anyone because they got anarthas, then how do you hang out with yourself? You got anarthas. So then, you know, that's a problem.
Also, there's another aspect with the authority, with, for example, the person and the quality, the shakti behind it. Because sometimes people also, they put it into one. They say that they have a problem with my temple authority or guru or some whoever, but actually it's only the person I have problem with, not the shakti itself, but it's behind it, the impotency, what is there. He has to rest, he has to be respected and so on, that I can do anyway.
I
just don't like the person maybe, but I still have to...
Or the opposite.
Yeah.
You understand that? He's saying is that you have a temple president, so you may not have a problem with authority, just the person himself is a problem. So the potency of presidentship isn't your problem, it's the actual, just the character or the cultural dealings of the president that annoy you. But you also have those who, it's not the person themselves, they don't like the position of potence, of authority. And so it doesn't matter who you put there, they have a problem with it. You know? But in other words, this discrimination must be there to understand what's there. So you have to see what is wrong, and that's corrected, and everything else is not. That's what probably gives the example of when the eye has a cataract, you move the cataract, not the eye. Like that. So, and then you compare that to how we operated it. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, you know, we were making this, is that even though it seems like a simple point, is what we're devotional service is so much more powerful than we give it credit for. You know? Sixth canto reveals, though it's a very, not brought out much, anyone on the planet who is in an aristocratic position, you know, either by, you know, prestige or wealth or influence, they've all done devotional service before. And we're talking all those Malechas and Yavanas and everybody all over the planet. They're only in that position because they've done some devotional service. That's stated in the purports in sixth canto. So, we don't give credit how powerful devotional service is. We just take it because Prabhupada is so powerful. It's just like the example, Prabhupada gives the example, expert means one who makes something difficult look easy. So Prabhupada is so expert that he made making devotees and establishing the devotional process and the preaching look so easy that we just take it as ordinary. But the process isn't ordinary, the devotees are not ordinary, the mission's not ordinary, nothing's ordinary about it. You know, Prabhupada said in 18 days we could make the whole planet Krishna conscious. If we were prepared. If we were ready to actually commit to it like that. That's all it would take. And that's just because, you know, 18 is a nice number. You know, it's a battle of Kurukshetra, you know, it's a great, you know, it could, you know, those things. It gives a little time for it to soak in, you know. Is that okay? Okay, so we'll end here for today. Jai Grantharaj Shumad Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhakta Brinda Ki, Jainatai Gaur Premanandi.